Blog Talk Radio.
Something is happening in Memphis. Something is happening in our...
When we hear a certain call, when the world must come together as one, there are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on,
and they're on my
day by day. That the world somewhere will soon make a change.
We all a part of God's great big family.
And the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the children. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true, we make a better day, just you and me. Well, send them your heart, so they know that someone cares.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the world to make a bright.
From the bomb of abundance of Egypt through a rugged across the Red Sea through the wilderness on toward the promised land. And in spite of its magnificence, I wouldn't stop there. I would move on by Greece and take my mind to Mount Olympus. And I would see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Euripides, and Aristophanes, the symbol around the Parthenon. And I would watch them around the Parthenon as they discussed
just Dr. Martin Luther King movement night. And we're still talking about Stop the Killing, Save the Babies. I'm going to Detroit and have Mary Hawkins to read the 23rd number of Psalm. And after we do that, we're going back to Dr. Martin Luther King. And I want to tell you what's going on. Last night I gave message out at 12 o'clock last night. Some people said that I was so fast they didn't get it. But I gave it out at 12 o'clock. I want to say to you tonight, this is the Dr. Martin Luther King movement. Every Monday night, we have a message from Dr. King. And our message to you is to you write down, and many people you can tell them, that we need to ban the assault rifles, those rifles that are killing children. You know, you can shoot a assault rifle on one block, it'll go five blocks and kill somebody. In Chicago, the man was shooting an assault rifle on Indiana, and he killed somebody on King Drive. That's how the philosophy is. And when the person got shot down in Texas, their arm off, their leg off, one little boy that in Chicago that was in with the shooting, they shot him in the arm, it tore his whole back out, the whole case. So that's real bad. But Stop the Killing, Save the Babies. Mary Hawkins, God bless you today. I've been very busy today. Mary Hawkins, you on the line? I want you to read the 23rd number Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, okay. I shall not want. You got it? Read that.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But thou art with me, thy rod, and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Thank you, Mary, for that reading of 23rd number Psalm. And what we've been reading all this month, the 23rd number Psalms, and we've been dealing with some of the problems that's going on in this country, the killings, the murders, what happened to the man over in Tokyo, and what's happening in Russia. And some of the stuff is God is still looking at somebody. Now, I want to say to you tonight, those that are listening, if you got a need, you plan to speak, go to our website, The Seed of Abraham, go to Yoda's site, and go to PayPal. And I just, Mary, got the new thing in, and you can go to Cash Out. Just hit Cash Out. Just hit Cash Out. Just hit Cash Out. Those that want to read in or something, then Cash Out, and we will be able to read you, and you can look at me and see me read you. I'll give you a prophecy.
No, that's called Cash App.
Yeah, Cash App. I'll be doing that. But another thing, my prophecy is that there's going to be an earthquake over the I feared there would be more police that shot, and now they're getting shot all over. They shot that boy in Ohio. They shot him 60 times. And,
wow.
You know, a lot of cops in Ohio belongs to the Klan. And the lady was talking about, Miss Turner, talking about how the Klan have told the police department in the state of Ohio. And there's lots of blacks being killed. A little boy got 12 years old. The man jumped out the car and shot and killed him in the park. All the killing, the blood that's out there now. What happened in Illinois, the people that upset, the rich neighborhood, I don't think it can happen anywhere in America, because it's too many guns. We had 47 shootings last night. I don't know how many shootings we're going to have tonight. You know, police got shot trying to break up a fight. He was off duty. So in Detroit, Chicago, there's too many guns. The policeman got shot in Detroit in the neck. And two police got killed in New York. And what happened here in Chicago? You know, and on. So these things happen, but I want to say this. You have to understand how violent this country is and how we done hooked up with the violence. But I want to say tonight, Mary, I'm glad you're on there. I'm talking about Dr. King and the movement. And somebody asked me, what you going to do with Dr. King movement? I'm going to keep playing Dr. King records on Monday night. We're going to talk about the civil rights situation. It's no more civil rights. It's human rights. Human rights means right to live, right to be a man, to be a woman. All this other stuff that's going on, it takes from what Dr. King did. Dr. King never marched for the LGBT community. He marched for black men, black women. He marched for people of color to have rights. And now all this other stuff that they put in on now is a part, and it's a part of what happened. Now, what happened, and I'm going to tell you about them. Back in the day, they passed a bill that if you want to get rid of your baby, you can get rid of it and the state will help you. Now, I don't believe that women should get abortion. Now, if she raped and something happened to her, and the doctor, with a woman, young girls, and these college kids, what they do, they go out on the weekend and get pregnant, and they go Monday morning, and get a baby pulled out of them, and some of them wounds a walking graveyard because they had about 5 abortions. And they think, and some of their mamas is going to hell with them because their mamas are with them. So it's like this, you know. This is what you got to understand. The Bible says that should not kill. If I take a machine gun and shoot 100 folks, if a woman takes and snatch 100 babies out of her womb, murder is just murder. My whole thing with the whole thing, you have a right to your body. Yes, so as a woman, you have a right to say that I don't want this baby. I laid down and had this baby, but I don't want it. That's you and God. And your doctor. No government should come in and tell you what to do with your body. I agree with that. And those that misuse their bodies, they're going to die anyway. Because the way they sin is death to give God eternal life. And a lot of women got abortions. And they didn't want the baby, but they laid down and stretched their legs out, pearl, and they got the baby. Now they want to kill the baby. Murder is just murder. And in the spirit of Marcus Garvey, Dr. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and Sojourner Truth, and all the women that's talking about what's going on. Now, I'm going to say this again. Those that called me at 12 o'clock, I gave them all the message. One lady called me at 8 o'clock that morning. Give me a message. I favorite people to call 1 minute after 12. Because Pearl, you called me a couple of times, but I was talking to people that called from Arkansas, Mississippi. A lady called me to tell me that she had death in her family. One lady called to tell me that her son got drowned. And there's so much going on. And you're not able, you know, one lady talked to me that he didn't leave her husband, beat up. You know, that's wild, that's a baby. If you intend to leave, you go ahead and leave. Okay? He want to bring his daughter that's grown in the house with him. He want to bring his son, his two sons in the house, and his grown daughter. I told her that ain't no marriage. That's a hustle. So she said, when she told him that she was getting away from him, he jumped on him. And the police are looking for him now. What I'm saying to you, if you make a bad decision, don't hold on to it. Correct it by doing the right thing. Okay? If you in a relationship, and I don't believe in a relationship with no man and man, that's demonic. Woman with a woman, that's demonic. Mary, get Romans 1 and 26 for me. I'm going to read that. This is what the Bible says. If you don't want to listen, you can hang up. If you don't want to listen to this, because we've been programmed and brainwashed, it's all right to be homosexual. It's all right for two women to get married. We've been brainwashed. Here's a woman over in Russia, and they're honoring her, and she brought drugs into Russia. She had three strikes against her. One, she's black, and the second one, she's American. The third, she's gay. Come out, my wife. Okay? And when you get that out of your head, see, what they do, they program you so much with that gay stuff, you think it's normal. It's not normal to have a stroke. It's not normal to have a heart attack. It's not normal to have rheumatism. You have been programmed by the medical community. That's normal. It's not normal for people to shoot each other. That ain't normal. It ain't normal for two men to go together. That ain't normal. It ain't normal for two women to go together. Now they want to bring it into school. What a 1-2-year-old lady told me, oh, my son is gay. How old is he? He's 12. He don't even know nothing about no sex. It's what they're pushing. The monkey pops. It's two men having sex in the booty. That's why it got monkey pops, and the media don't want to say it. They don't want to say that. Oh, women can't get it that they mess with a man. That the women can get the monkey pop if the man messing with another man. The doctor saying, I got a cure. You can't cure a curse from God. God said man and woman. He said man and woman be fruitful and multiply. It ain't changed. There's so much evil going on out here now. There's so much negativity going on. And you buying into it, you wonder why you depressed. Lady called me, so I can't sleep. I said, well, you can't sleep, you need to pray. And I told her to read the 23rd number of Psalms. See, that evil take over your body and your mind. It make you be evil to people. It make you be evil. And you say, well, I don't need no man. Give me a woman because men jump on me. I don't need no woman because woman's robbed me. That's the scenario that you put in your mind. I don't care if you got five men, go find you another one. You think I'm going to stop going with women because one woman cussed me out? Because one woman, I'm going to find a woman because God said man and woman. That's what he said. And said be fruitful and multiply. How can two women be fruitful? How can two men be fruitful? It's a lie from the pits of hell. You can't, look, let me tell you something. I didn't mean to get on. You can't clean that up. It ain't nothing, no soap, nothing you can't clean. It's the word of God. And if they bring it into church, the church is tainted. If they bring it into the church is tainted. And I don't care what you say. Well, I'm my own man. If you're your own man, you get your own woman. If, you know, young women now is at 12 and 13 saying they gay. They're using that. And all they're doing is cursing themselves. And you say, well, bitch, you'll be all right. The wages of sin is death, the gift of God, eternal life. Dr. King said it. Said, if we keep bombing and killing, we're going to destroy ourselves. It's just a matter of Russia killing them innocent people. And let me tell you something. Press don't play that. There's a black-on-black crime in Inglewood, black-on-black crime in Lundale, black-on-black crime in the Roseland. What about in Russia, white-on-white crime? White folks fighting white folks. And then you got a nerve to say, well, I won't get, what you going to get involved with white folks fighting white folks? That's what's happening. And they paying all kind of money. The reason this country having problems financially, how come the gas up? How come? Because all the money, the trillions of dollars, they're spending over in Ukraine. It don't take no rocket science to know that oil don't pull, gas don't pull to be no $6 a gallon. Premium, $7 a gallon. You go get groceries, you bring $100, you might get one bag, because all the money is going to something else. What about the people in America? What about the people? You know, you work hard, come home, find out that you got to buy some water, some bread, and go to the store. Everything been cooked back with your salary. Ain't nobody getting no money. And ain't nobody following who did it. We know where it come from. It come from the government not taking care of its business. Y'all don't like it, you know. I'm going back to Dr. Martin Luther King. Dr. King said this, we would destroy ourselves and we will die as fools if we keep doing what we're doing now. There's two things I want to talk about. All the dope that flood in America. All the guns that flow in America. There's a preacher down in North Carolina said, poor people got to come together and march because it is no more middle class. If you think you're middle class, baby, let me tell you, if the fight is against the rich and the poor. It ain't no middle class. The fight is against the rich and the poor. You rich or you poor. And right now, the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. You can't hardly go buy some bread. It's so high. You go to the store with a little money. You come back. You just got a bag. Ain't nobody talking about them. We in a section. We in a depression. That's what we in a depression. Anytime people can't eat, people have nowhere to pay their rent, people sleeping outdoors, haven't seen a doctor or a dentist, and you going to talk about we in a depression. We're in a depression. They don't want to say it. And the rich getting richer. The pharmaceutical coming, making money. And all the major corporations making money. Ford, Chrysler, they're still selling cars. And you wonder why you ain't got no money. Money ain't circulating. It's happening with you. I want you to get ready tonight. And as we talk tonight, Mary, did you get that scripture for me? I'm asking Mary, did you
what
get that
scripture?
Romans 1:26. If you can't get it, got to be the King James Version. Kit, if you got it, get it for me in the King James Version. It's Romans 1:26. I want to let you know Dr. Martin Luther King, civil rights wasn't about, you know, homosexual. It was about black folk being all messed up. That's what it been. It was about black folk. It wasn't about no homosexual. It wasn't about man is gay. I don't want him in my store. Because they wouldn't let blacks in the store. And
you say Romans 1:26?
Yeah, Romans 1:26. It said, if God turned them over to reprobate mind to do that which is unseemly. That means reprobate means that you're going crazy. All this stuff now is crazy, and it's full of witchcraft. Read.
For this cause, God gave them up unto a vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use is against nature. And likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burn in their lust one towards another.
Now,
men with men.
Wrong. Men going with men. Women going with women.
Working.
Is abomination,
right,
for God. Is a divine law. And the divine law is a man and woman. Now, you can be mad at me if you want to, but I'm going to tell the truth. And some of these preachers, they so caught up in it, they can't say it because they're scared that they can't pay the church note, or they can't fly the airplane. So one preacher down in Texas said, God allowed it. God have not allowed you to be homosexual. God ain't allowed for you to be a sissy and a bull diaper and rape little children. God ain't allowed that, and he's a liar. Uh-huh. That's what, you see who said that. He said it one time, T.J. Jakes said that God allowed that. I want to tell them God ain't allowed no mess like that. Okay? Now, these people just lie and tell people anything, and they take it. God ain't lied for no man to go with no man, a woman to go with no woman. God ain't allowed that. Anybody say God lied, they're a lie, and the truth ain't here. Like Richard Gates Mouse said, they're a bald-faced lie. Because God ain't allowed no mess like that to happen. God don't operate like that.
I come to this magnificent house of worship tonight because my conscience leaves me no other choice. I join you in this meeting because I'm in deepest agreement with the aim and work of the organization which has brought us together, clergy and laymen concerned about Vietnam. The recent statements of your executive committee are the sentiments of my own heart, and I found myself in full accord when I read its opening lines. A time comes when silence is betrayal. That time has come for us in relation to Vietnam. The truth of these words is beyond doubt, but the mission to which they call us is a most difficult one. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war. Nor does the human spirit move without great difficulty against all the apathy of conformist thought within one's own bosom and in the surrounding world. Moreover, when the issues at hand seem as perplexing as they often do in the case of this dreadful conflict, we are always on the verge of being mesmerized by uncertainty, but we must move on. Some of us who have already come to break the silence of the night have found that the call to speak is often a vocation of agony, but we must speak. We must speak with all the humility that is appropriate to our limited vision, but we must speak. And we must rejoice as well, for sure that this is the first time in our nation's history that a significant number of its religious leaders have chosen to move beyond the prophesying of smooth patriotism to the high grounds of a firm dissent based upon the mandates of conscience and the reading of history. Perhaps a new spirit is rising among us. If it is, let us trace its movements and pray that our inner being may be sensitive to its guidance. We are deeply in need of a new way beyond the darkness that seems so close around us. Over the past 2 years, as I have moved to break the betrayal of my own silences and to speak from the burnings of my own heart, as I have called for radical departures from the destruction of Vietnam, many persons have questioned me about the wisdom of my path. At the heart of their concerns, this query has often loomed large and loud. Why are you speaking about the war, Dr. King? Why are you joining the voices of dissent? Peace and civil rights don't mix, they say. Aren't you hurting the cause of your people, they ask. And when I hear them, though I often understand the source of their concern, I'm nevertheless greatly saddened. The such questions mean that the inquirers have not really known me, my commitment or my calling. Indeed, their questions suggest that they do not know the world in which they live. In the light of such tragic misunderstanding, I deem it of signal importance to try to state clearly, and I trust concisely, why I believe that the path from Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, the church in Montgomery, Alabama, where I began my pastorate, leads clearly to this sanctuary tonight. I come to this platform tonight to make a passionate plea to my beloved nation. This speech is not addressed to Hanoi or to the National Liberation Front. It is not addressed to China or to Russia. Nor is it an attempt to overlook the ambiguity of the total situation and the need for a collective solution to the tragedy of Vietnam. Neither is it an attempt to make North Vietnam or the National Liberation Front paragons of virtue, nor to overlook the role they must play in the successful resolution of the problem. While they both may have justifiable reasons to be suspicious of the good faith of the United States, life and history give eloquent testimony to the fact that conflicts are never resolved without trustful give and take on both sides. Tonight, however, I wish not to speak with Hanoi and the National Liberation Front, but rather to my fellow Americans. That is, at the outset, a very obvious and almost facile connection between the war in Vietnam and the struggle I and others have been waging in America. A few years ago, there was a shining moment in that struggle. It seemed as if there was a real promise of hope for the poor, both black and white, through the poverty program. There were experiments, hopes, new beginnings. Then came the build-up in Vietnam, and I watched this program broken and eviscerated, as if it was some idle political plaything of a society gone mad on war. And I knew that America would never invest the necessary funds or energies in rehabilitation of its poor, so long as adventures like Vietnam continue to draw men and skills and money like some demonic destructive suction tube. So I was increasingly compelled to see the war as an enemy of the poor and to attack it as such. Perhaps a more tragic recognition of reality took place when it became clear to me that the war was doing far more than devastating the hopes of the poor at home. It was sending their sons and their brothers and their husbands to fight and to die in extraordinarily high proportions relative to the rest of the population. We were taking the black young men who had been crippled by our society and sending them 8,000 miles away to guarantee liberties in Southeast Asia, which they had not found in Southwest Georgia and East Holland. So we have been repeatedly faced with the cruel irony of watching Negro and white boys on TV screens as they kill and die together for a nation that has been unable to seat them together in the same school. So we watch them in brutal solidarity, burning the huts of a poor village, but we realize that they would hardly live on the same block in Chicago. I could not be silent in the face of such cruel manipulation of the poor. My third reason moves to an even deeper level of awareness, for it grows out of my experience in the ghettos of the North over the last 3 years, especially the last three summers. As I have walked among the desperate, rejected, and angry young men, I have told them that Molotov cocktails and rifles would not solve their problems. I have tried to offer them my deepest compassion while maintaining my conviction that social change comes most meaningfully through nonviolent action. But they ask, and rightly so, what about Vietnam? They ask if our own nation wasn't using massive doses of violence to solve its problems, to bring about the changes it wanted. Their questions hit home, and I knew that I could never again raise my voice against the violence of the oppressed in the ghetto without having first spoken clearly to the greatest purveyor of violence in the world today, my own government. For the sake of those boys, for the sake of this government, for the sake of the hundreds of thousands trembling under our violence, I cannot be silent. For those who ask the question, aren't you a civil rights leader? And thereby mean to exclude me from...
Dr. King was just talking about some of the stuff that was going on back then, but it's happening in a different way. This is Dr. Martin Luther King in Memphis in April 1968, just before his death. This was Dr. King's speech. Don't forget, you can call me or get in contact with me, and I want to tell you all as well. And things will work out for you. And some of you just said, one lady called me. Let me give you
one.
Always
good to
708-582-0372. Share a friend and tell them to listen to the show. 515-605-9890. 515-605-9890.
I'm delighted to see each of you here tonight.
90. That's Block Talk Radio.
In spite of a
storm, some of you need to talk and need some stuff, because a lot of people,
you reveal,
I'm praying for those families that lost loved ones. Let's go back to Dr. King.
To go on anyhow. Something is happening in Memphis. Something is happening in our world. And you know, if I was standing at the beginning of time with with the possibility of taking a kind of general and panoramic view of the whole of human history up to now. And the Almighty said to me, Martin Luther King, which age would you like to live in? I would take my mental flight by Egypt. And I would watch God's children in their magnificent trek from the dark dungeons of Egypt through, or rather across the Red Sea, through the wilderness on toward the Promised Land. And in spite of its magnificence, I wouldn't stop there. I would move on by Greece and take my mind to Mount Olympus. And I would see Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, Euripides, and Aristophanes assemble around the Parthenon. I would watch them around the Parthenon as they discussed the great and eternal issues of reality, but I wouldn't stop there. I would go on even to the great heyday of the Roman Empire. And I would see developments around there through various emperors and leaders. But I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the day of the Renaissance and get a quick picture of all that the Renaissance did for the cultural and aesthetic life of man, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even go by the way that the man for whom I'm named had his habitat. And I would watch Martin Luther as he tacks his 95 theses on the door at the Church of Wittenberg, but I wouldn't stop there. I would come on up even to 1863 and watch a vacillating president by the name of Abraham Lincoln finally come to the conclusion that he had to sign the Emancipation Proclamation, but I wouldn't stop there. I would even come up to the early 30s and see a man grappling with the problems of the bankruptcy of his nation, come with an eloquent cry that we have nothing to fear but fear itself, but I wouldn't stop there. Strangely enough, I would turn to the Almighty and say, if you allow me to live just a few years in the second half of the 20th century, I will be happy. Now, that's a strange statement to make because the world is all messed up. The nation is sick. Trouble is in the land. Confusion all around. That's a strange statement. But I know somehow that only when it is dark enough can you see the stars. And I see God working in this period of the 20th century in a way that men in some strange way are responding. Something is happening in our world. The masses of people are rising up, and wherever they are assembled today, whether they are in Johannesburg, South Africa, Nairobi, Kenya, Accra, Ghana, New York City, Atlanta, Georgia, Jackson, Mississippi, or Memphis, Tennessee, the cry is always the same. We want to be free. Another reason that I'm happy to live in this period is that we have been forced to a point where we're going to have to grapple with the problems that men have been trying to grapple with through history, but the demands didn't force them to do it. Survival demands that we grapple with them. Men for years now have been talking about war and peace, but now no longer can they just talk about it. It is no longer the choice between violence and nonviolence in this world. It's nonviolence or non-existence. That is where we are today. Also in the human rights revolution, if something isn't done and done in a hurry to bring the colored peoples of the world out of their long years of poverty, their long years of hurt and neglect, the whole world is doomed. I'm just happy that God has allowed me to live in this period to see what is unfolding. And I'm happy that he's allowed me to be in Memphis. I can remember when Negroes were just going around, as Ralph has said so often, scratching where they didn't itch and laughing when they were not tickled. But that day is all over. We mean business now, and we are determined to gain our rightful place in God's world. And that's all this whole thing is about. We aren't engaged in any negative protest and in any negative arguments with anybody. We are saying that we are determined to be men. We are determined to be people. We are saying that we are God's children. And if we are God's children, we don't have to live like we are forced to live. Now, what does all of this mean in this great period of history? It means that we've got to stay together. We've got to stay together and maintain unity. You know, whenever Pharaoh wanted to prolong the period of slavery in Egypt, he had a favorite formula for doing it. What was that? He kept the slaves fighting among themselves. But whenever the slaves get together, something happens in Pharaoh's court, and he cannot hold the slaves in slavery. When the slaves get together, that's the beginning of getting out of slavery. Now let us maintain unity. Secondly, let us keep the issues where they are. The issue is injustice. The issue is the refusal of Memphis to be fair and honest in its dealings with its public servants who happen to be sanitation workers. Now we've got a...
Dr. King was talking about what's going on in Memphis, but what's happening in Sandy Hook, what happened in Buffalo, New York, what happened in Illinois, and what happened in Ohio, what happened in Michigan. We're talking about stop the killing, save the baby, but we're talking about let's ban, let's get together and ban the assault weapons. These machine guns are, these guns are used for war. What they doing on the market? Because of the Republican and Democrat making money. Until the people rise up, that's only we're going to stop it. We're going to rise up together and say, enough is enough. I need you to call your congressman or write a letter to Washington and tell the president, that bill they passed, a watered-down bill, we know them. We got guns that would shoot 40 rounds. And that's the problem. There's too many guns out here, and ain't nobody trying to stop the guns that's going on in America. But that's the whole thing that we're talking about. Stop the killing, save the baby. And that's what we're looking for on Monday, to talk about kids going back to school, talking about more jobs, more business. And we're talking about people of color coming together to make something, make a change. Chief Izzy was saying that the racism is still real in America. And we can see it. What happened in Akron, Ohio. Now, you got two people kill people. Both of them they was taken alive. Here's one in Akron. They killed him over a broke taillight. So it's important for us to understand that we have to change what's going on in America. And the only way we're going to change it, that we're going to stand together. And once we stand together, doors open up. So I want you going into next month, kids getting ready to go to school, got to get ready and see what's happening. So something, like the old folks said, something got to give. Somebody got to step up, like Dr. King was saying, somebody got to step up and tell the truth. You know, they still got the hearings, and they're still saying, it wasn't no treason. If this ain't treason, you tell me what treason is, that what Trump did. And people still, as a white folk, still don't want to say Trump is guilty. Okay? And his whole team, they don't want to say that, but his whole team was guilty. And that's what was happening. Tonight, I was playing Dr. King. I want to play one of my old tapes we did. And I want to play that. I'm playing that. Sunday, that God still heals and God still forgives. So I just want you to know tonight, whatever you need, God got. Which one? This is Dr. King Movement tonight, and most time we hear from Dr. King. But I want some of you kind of depressed, some of you crossed up, messed up, and you need a hand up. And I want to tell you, God is will do anything but fail. And God is the answer to your prayer. God is the answer to what you need and what you want. This go out for you, Brother Joe and Lisa, down in Atlanta. This go out for you, in Birmingham, Alabama, for Brother Maurice. Chelsea, for you. Pearl, for you. And happy birthday to all of them got a birthday. Happy birthday to you. Nick, give me a call later on. I got a message for you. Give me a call, Nick. Pearl, give me a call tonight. Mary, call me tonight after you get off the air. Wayne, I'm praying for you tonight. Mother Francis, thank you for coming on. Mother Francis, you might have to make some more gumbo the way this virus is coming back up. You might have to put another pot of gumbo on. I'll be down in Algiers to get it. Chief Izzy did some ceremonies up in the mountains, and he gave prophecy about what's going to go on. Get ready for back-to-back hurricanes. They're going to hit the Gulf, Florida, and they're going to be hitting. God got it all in his hands, man. Miracles is it for you. Maxine, this is for you. Somebody ever called me, tell me. God got it in his hand. Know what Dr. King was saying. Thank God for you. Got a message, give me a call. Thank you, Mary. You read real good tonight, Mary. I enjoyed that 23rd number song. And then you were able to do it.